Couple of quick announcements before we begin. Number one is that no, I am not trying to have AI track you or anything else like that. The check-ins that we're doing in the back are we're trying out for kids safety reasons, and so we're trying out a new check-in system where the prints labels and it'll give a code on the back of the sticker that we're placing on kids. And Ethan and Logan, we have yours too because you guys are still recognized as kids. So just kidding. But, You got them in? Okay.
They do need to be tracked.
They do need to be tracked, yeah. Okay. So this isn't the big brother tracking you. I'm not going to ask you for your social security number next week. I may ask you for your bank account information if you're willing to give it to me. I mean, hey, I won't. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. I do want to give some really good news. Last week, as you know, we were praying for Kiara Dunphy. Kiara was in the hospital. She had some heart issues that was going on last week. Linda actually took the phone and put it up to Kiara's ear as we were praying for her last week. And within an hour, her heart function went up. She woke up from the coma, and they were able to remove tubes this week. They were able to, in fact, we got a chance to say hi to her this morning on FaceTime, and she's doing good now. Not great. She still has a recovery to do. We still need to continue praying for her, but her heart function is now up to 30%, which is good, and they believe that she may have had a heart attack, actually, is what now they're thinking, and so we need to continue praying for her and Linda and Bill, and just hold that family up in your prayers. And as we get some more information, we'll pass it along to you. But those are good news, and not surprising, honestly, because God works in that way. And it's amazing to hear. And if you ever ask, if anyone ever asks you, do your prayers get answered? This is another one to check and say, yes, God does hear your prayers and does respond to your prayers. Your prayers were answered. Awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
I made a bed with an ice pack on my head. And I called my mom, my two daughters, and said, if I don't remember you tomorrow, or if I don't pick up, I love you.
Yeah.
Oh. And then I prayed out loud that I wasn't fine. Happy.
Right, yeah. And nothing happened. That's good. Yes. That's awesome. We also need to be praying for Paul's mom. I visited with Susie this past week. Susie's in the hospital. Her breathing is not doing well. And so if we'll just continue to hold her up in prayer and hold Paul and his family up in our prayers as well, that would be appreciated. I know Susie asked for that. And so we definitely want to hold her up in our prayers as well. So, and then also Pastor Chaz and Miss Tanya, continue to hold them up in our prayers as well. They had a celebration of life yesterday for Karen, and all went well. And so they live in a very beautiful, her dad, Chaz's dad, lives in a very beautiful, very rural, remote is the word I'm thinking of. Yeah, location, but it's beautiful. And it was I hear that it was a good time. We were there just for a short period of time before we had to go to our own celebration of life yesterday too. So let's hold all of those up in prayer and pray that God just blesses our time together here today. So will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you do hear our prayers. And not only do you hear them, you respond to them, Father. And so we're so thankful that you have responded to our prayer for Kiara and her family. Lord, we thank you for the health that you've given to her and her continued improvement. We ask you, Lord, that your hand would not leave her and that you would continue to heal her, Father. Lord, we thank you also that you listened and heard Cheryl's prayers and that you answered hers. We also thank you for just all of the wonderful opportunities we had to bless Pastor Chaz and his family yesterday. We pray that you continue to encourage and uphold and love on them, Father, as they go through the loss of Karen. And then, Lord, we also want to lift up to you the Long family. We pray for Susie. We pray for Paul and Becky and the kids, that you would just bless them as they traverse through all of these things that you're asking them to walk through this journey. May they remember, may they just know, Father, that we are here for them, but also, more importantly, that you are there for them, Father. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. We thank you for all of the prayers. We ask you that you just bless those that, even the ones that may not have been mentioned, but are in our hearts today, Father. Be with those prayer requests as well. And we just thank you that you are moving in our midst. And Father, we pray that our time together today would be a blessing to you, that you'd hear and teach us what you'd have to say to us about this idea of our identity and where we're at in our walk with you, Father. Help us to follow you, to hear from you, to be with you, and to be guided by you in all things. We glorify you, Father. We honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. If you can't find Genesis chapter 1, I don't know that I can help you. It's the very first book in the Bible. Don't go home. This is the place to be if you can't find Genesis chapter 1, okay? I'll help you with that. But it's the very beginning of the Bible. And so if you open up the Bible, you will find Genesis. We are going to be in Genesis chapter 1. I've been speaking the last few weeks about identity and our identity in Jesus and what that means. And as I have been teaching this, I've also been studying a little bit deeper on my own and just really trying to grasp a hold of who God says we are. We've talked about many things about our identity in Christ and who we are and how we're rooted in Him and rooted in God and all of those things and what that means. But I think we need to go all the way back to the very beginning. When you think about who we are as people, and you think about all of these things, you know, I carry forth, some people say that I carry forth a lot of my father's traits. Some of those things are good, and some of those things as a son, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to carry forth all of the traits that my father had, right? As a child, I used to hate when they go, you look exactly like your father. Well, that's great. Thanks a lot, you know? Some of that was good, some of that's bad, but some of those traits I can't get away from. That's who I am. It's in my DNA. It was given to me by my birth. It's my birthright, if you will, and that's okay. And it made me start to think about this process of identity and saying, who are we really? I'm more than Bob's son and Lee's son. I'm more than Jennifer's husband or Becca and Zach's dad. I'm more than, although I love the title Papa, I'm more than just Papa to Adeline. I have much more inside of me of who I am. And it starts with who God is. Because what we have to understand is that God has created all things on this earth. As I thought about this for a moment, as I want to ask you to think about this for a moment, is think about all the wonderful things in the world that you've seen. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon and looked out at the Grand Canyon? You ever been to the Smoky Mountains and looked at the Smoky Mountains? Ever been on a beach and looked out over the ocean? Ever been to a mountaintop or anywhere else, some beautiful lake or something along the course of your life? I remember one point, I was in Colorado, and I was hiking in the mountains outside of Denver, Colorado, and we went up to this place that was called Crystal Clear Lake. And I figured by the name that it would be a pretty clear lake. You know, you don't call a name Crystal Clear Lake if it's dirty and ugly like West Branch is, right? We hiked up to this place, and we went as high as we could in this mountaintop, and we walked over top of this mountaintop, and I thought I was looking at the ground. And I looked at my cousin who was hiking with me. I said, look at all the rocks down there. That's amazing. And he's like, Jason, that's not rocks. That's a lake. That's Crystal Lake. And I walked, as we walked down there, the water was so clear that you couldn't even see. The only time you could see a reflection was when the sun was hitting it. But otherwise, if the sun was shaded or it was behind a cloud, you could see all the way down to the bottom of the lake. You could see every fish that was in that lake, everything that crawled on the ground. It was amazing. And as I looked at that, I started to think to myself, I'm like, man, God is an amazing God. Look what He has created. The beauties of what He's created. I've stood on the side of the Grand Canyon, looked out over the Grand Canyon and thought, only God could create this. Stood in the middle of a mountainside in the Smoky Mountains and looked out on the valley and all the trees and the smoke coming. Well, the smoke, the mist coming from the mountains, and said, only God could create this. I've stood on the side of a beach and looked out over the ocean and watched the waves come crashing in and said, only God could create this. But do you know, of all those things that God has created, none of them are called to bear his image. None of them. The most beautiful things in this earth, the most beautiful things that are on this earth, none of them bear that name, that image of God, if you will. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it, the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This, of course, is called the creation mandate, if you will. And Bonnie, you called me a creep earlier today when we were asking for the numbers. I have on good authority that... Yeah, okay, go ahead. I have it on good authority that I can, because Scripture tells us that we have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, right? Just kidding. I'm giving her a hard time. But this is an amazing verse. This is called the creation mandate. This is how God has created the earth. God has created the earth, and he said after every time, it is good. He created the sun, and it was good. He created the moon, and it was good. He created the water, and the oceans, and the sea, and the land, and every living creature, and he says it's good, and all of these things. And then we get to this place, and he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. You got to pause there for a moment, because this is an amazing thing. God has just created everything that we have just talked about. He has created the earth, he's created the animals, he's created all of these most amazing things, and he's done all of these things, and all of these things are wonderful, and they're beautiful, and if you just spend a few seconds thinking about all of the amazing things on this earth that he has created, it is amazing. Yet, he pauses, and he says, let us make man in our image. Who is the R, first of all, O-U-R, the Trinity of God, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are not just made in the image of God the Father. We're not just made in the image of God the Son. And we're not just made in God the Holy Spirit. We are made in the likeness of God, the image. What does that mean? It means we are three parts. We are human, we are spirit, and we are flesh. We are all of those things, spirit, soul, and flesh. All of those three things together. God has made us in that way. If you ever ask yourself, what am I supposed to do on this earth? Why am I here? Why did God create us? Well, right here is a perfect verse. We are to have dominion over the fish of the sea. Buddy, you and I are in trouble when we go fishing because we don't have very much dominion over the fish of the sea. Gage might, but we don't, right? So we might be in trouble. Sue has dominion over the fish of her lake. I do not. But then he also goes on and says, we are not only to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. Listen, I love animals. I do. I love every animal that you can think of, except for the stupid mouse that I have in my house I can't get rid of right now. That's the only thing I may not love right now. But outside of that, I love animals. I'm just that way. I love all kinds of animals. But you know what? God has given us dominion over those animals as human beings. He has given us our care. He's given them to us to care for. Our job here on this earth was to take care of things, to take care of the earth, to take care of the animals, to take care of the fish of the sea, to take care of the livestock. I'm not so happy about having dominion over spiders. Let me rephrase that. I'm very happy I have dominion over spiders because I can't stand spiders. And I love to get rid of them. But God has made us more than just that. See, if you're asking what your purpose is to take care of this earth. Your purpose is to do all of these things. But there's more than just taking care of this earth. What's really important in this verse that we have to grasp a hold of is that God has made us in his image. And so he goes on to say in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. God has created not only us as man, but he's also created us as female. So if you're here today and you're a female, God created you. If you're here as a man, God created you. But he, listen, he didn't create any mistakes. There's no in-betweens. There's no I'm halfway this or halfway that, or I think I'm this, but I'm really this. No, it's this, man or female. We have to be very careful. God is not giving us the option to choose. God is telling us this is who you are. You're either man or you're female. You're one or the other. But there's even more than that. It's not just simply being man or woman. It is us being created in his own image. Do you understand what that means? I think we as humans miss out on one of the biggest mistakes in reading Genesis chapter 1 is that we fly over this. Oh, God created us. Isn't that great? No, it's much bigger than that. We got to hit the pause button right here for a moment and stop and say, oh my goodness, OMG, I'm created in the image of God. You know what that means? I think we miss out on this. If you are created in the image of God, if you are created in his likeness, guess what? Think of all, what's the greatest attribute of God that you have? Just someone, what's one of the greatest attributes that God has to you? Love. Someone said love. Okay, that's good. Anyone else besides love? Forgiveness. Great. Those are two wonderful attributes. But if God has an attribute, guess what? So do you. If God has the attribute of love, because we are made in his likeness, if we are made in his image, guess what you have? You have love. If God has an attribute of forgiveness, guess what? You have an attribute of, or can have an attribute of forgiveness, because he has created that. He has created us in his own image. In his image, everything that God is, that means that you have the ability to have that same image. You have that ability to have that same attribute inside of you. And what it means is that if God is the most, listen, God is the most powerful thing that's ever walked. Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing to ever walk this earth. God has done some amazing things. With him, you have the ability to have that same power that God has. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. I want to make sure that you understand. I'm not calling all of us gods with a capital G, because none of us in this room and no one on this earth is that way. What I am saying merely is this, because we serve a God and we are in his likeness, you have the ability to have the same attributes, the same forgiveness, the same love, the same power, all of those things inside of you that God has, because you are created to be like him. That was the responsibility. When God created you, you were supposed to be the image bearer of Jesus Christ. You were supposed to be the image bearer of God. We were created to walk this earth and let everyone and everything on this earth see what God looks like. We were called to love. We were called to do all of these things. All of these things we were created to be because we were in the image of God. Then, of course, it all went south. Why? Because Adam and Eve were deceived and ate of the apple, or of the fruit of the tree. I shouldn't say apple. Ate of the fruit of the tree. We have to often think about this. See, in order for us to understand exactly who we were created to be, you have to look back to the Creator. He is the one that knows truly who you are. He's the one that knows truly who you were created to be. He's the one that you are supposed to follow after. Is there something going on over there? There's a light flashing over there? Okay. All right. I just look over and everyone's like this, looking over in the corner, and I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. This is often called, the image of God is often called the creation covenant. God has created a covenant to you and I. His covenant was for us to look like him, to be like him, to do all of these things. So when we see this, we have to ask ourselves, what is the image of God? What is it that God is? Who is God, and how can we be like him? That's what he is asking. That's what he's created us to be. He's created us to be like him. That means that today, when you look at all of the things that you are, when you don't like who you are because you're not living up to the standard of your life that you want to be, you're not created to be that way. When you ask yourselves, can I really overcome these addictions? Can I really overcome these sins of my life? Can I really overcome these things? The answer to that question is yes, because guess what? God overcame those things. You have his attributes. You have his image. You have his likeness. Someone has asked me, so does that mean that God looks like us? I can't answer that. I don't know. But we're created in his image. So somehow he's going to have some humanly bodily form, because he wouldn't have created us to look like this if we weren't in his likeness. Because scripture tells us we are in a likeness or an image of God. We have to stop addressing ourselves as people who have to learn how to have these attributes. The simple fact is that what Satan has tried to do with the fall of man is he's tried to remove the idea that we were created by God. By having us fail and having sin enter into the world, we now get to choose which way we're going to be. Do you want to have the image of God, or do you want to bear the image of something else, i.e. Satan, the devil himself? That's the ultimate choice that God, or that we have here on this earth. We are given the choice to choose what we want to be like. Do you want to be like your father? Do you want to be like your mother? Do you want to be like God? I want to be like God. I love my mother and father, and I want to be, there's certain attributes from them that I take forward, and I move forward in, and I try to be and live up to the standard that they gave to me. But ultimately, I want to be who God created me to be. And that means down inside of my heart, down inside of my soul, I can look at the problems that I face and say, I can overcome those things because I have the attributes of God. God has overcome all of these things. Today, when we see humans, we often see the flaws, the bruises, the bad parts. It's like picking out an apple. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I went in, and they had a sale going on Honeycrisp apples, and I learned from my father that the only apple you can eat is a Honeycrisp apple. I swear, it was so funny. That's what he thought. You know, his favorite apple was a Honeycrisp. And so I go into the store, and I'm trying to find an apple, and I keep picking up these apples. Every time I pick up, I see a big bruise on it, right? I'm like, I don't want that apple, so I put it back down. It took me 15 minutes to find three apples that didn't have bruises on them. Giant Eagle in Ravenna. Yeah. And so I'm looking through all of these apples. I'm looking through all, and I'm sitting here, and as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, I really am only seeing the flaws, right? I was looking for the perfect apple. I was looking for the most shiny, the red, the none of the bruises, all of those things. And it got me thinking about this and thinking, how often do we see humans in that same way? Does that mean the whole entire apple was bad? No. Could I have easily taken one of those apples that had a bruise on it, cut the little bruise off, and eat the rest of the apple and been satisfied? Absolutely, I could have. But I was looking for the perfect apple. How often are we looking in each other for the perfect human? How often are we looking to overcome the bruises, the pains, the scars, the sacrifice, all of those things that we have made, instead of seeing the way that God created them? See, we have to get past all of those things, because that's not truly who God is. This is why we can go out and we can love the people who are completely different from us. You know why? Because those bruises, those scars, those problems, those imperfections are not exactly who God created that person to be. Those are things that the world has addressed or has laid on that person. We can cast those aside, and yes, we have to deal with those, but we can push those aside and we can look and we can see the beauty of that person. Every single one of you in this room was created to be in the image of God. And that means every single one of you, beyond the scars, beyond the whatever that you have, that this outward appearance that comes forward, at the heart of who you are is someone who was made in the image of God. Every characteristic of God that you like, that you would love the most, is in us, or can be in us. if we grasp a hold of this idea that we are truly made in His image and what that means for us. If we are in the image of God, that means we can love like God. Someone said forgiveness. That means you can forgive like God. Jesus, we can forgive like Jesus. My goodness. Those are some big shoes to fill. Jesus on the cross forgave the very people that were pounding the nails into His hand. I think about that all the time, and I think, how can I not forgive Corey when he just says something to me? No, I'm kidding, Corey. Chaz isn't here, so I got to pick on someone, so that's ends up being Corey. But no, it's literally how many times do we allow these little things in our life to boil up inside of us and make a big issue out of just such a small little issue? And if we would just literally step back and think, I am made in the image and the likeness of God, and that gives me the ability to just forgive someone. So what if I just forgive them? Instead of getting so worked up and boiled up about all of these things, what if I just say, you know what? It was a mistake. I forgive you. Let's move on. Let's do that, because that's the way the image of God is. I know someone's going to say, well, how many times do I forgive someone, right? Thank God that God didn't put a limit on how many times He forgives me. That's all I have to say, because I would have met that limit a long time ago. To know your true identity means that you have to truly know God. See, you can't truly know who you are until you know who God is. And I've said this before the previous weeks, and I just want to reiterate this today and say that this. If you really want to know who you are, if you really want to know why you're created, if you really want to know the attributes that are inside of you and what the core of who you really are, then you have to look towards God and you have to see who God is and you have to read and you have to study and you have to find out who God says He is. Because if we are made in His image, that means we have all of the attributes that He has, and all we have to do is pick up our Bible and start reading, because that's exactly who you were created to be. I believe wholeheartedly today the biggest issue with people outside of the, well, even inside the church, but I think one of the biggest issues is that we don't know who God is, and so therefore we have no idea who we are. We don't know how to handle situations because we don't know how God would have handled that situation. Or we don't love like God because we don't truly know how lovely He is. We allow ourselves to have an idea of what we think God is, and we build up this image of what God is, and we take partial readings that we say out of Scripture, and we say, take a step back and really read who God is, find out who He is, and that will give you an exact copy of who you were created to be. If I would take and hire a painter to come in and paint an image of my likeness, and I end up looking like Scooby-Doo. Yeah, we got a problem, right? I'm going to have a problem with that. Any of you that don't know who Scooby-Doo is, I'm just so sorry, right? I'm so sorry. Ethan's looking at me like, who's Scooby-Doo? No, you know who Scooby-Doo is, right, Ethan? Okay, thank you. I'm glad. You're raised right. Well done, Jay. No, but honestly, if I hired someone to come in and paint an image of my likeness, and I don't look anything like me, am I going to be aggravated? Am I going to be pleased with that? Well, unless I look like some hunk or something like that. Maybe if they cut me in some, you know, nice chiseled abs and those types of things, I'd be okay, right? No, I'm kidding. But let's be honest. Back in the day, we used to do that, right? Presidents in years past, they would always get their portrait done, and they would hang in the halls of the White House, and they're still there today. But that's all we know. Today we don't have a photo or a digital photo of who President George Washington was or Abraham Lincoln. We just have paintings. We have descriptions of what they look like, and we understand that. I bring all of this up because, listen, the truth of the matter is that we are supposed to be made in the image of God, and so therefore our likeness and who we look like and how we respond things and how we act are supposed to be like Jesus Christ. He was our image. He was our image bearer. He was our example who walked this. Before Jesus, there was God. We were supposed to know that what God was. We were supposed to know who He was and how He looked and how He responded to things. And then Jesus comes to this earth and He says, this is how you can fulfill. You know, Jesus was, I've said this before and I'm going to say this again. Jesus was tempted. He had brothers and sisters that didn't like him. He was abandoned by his mother and father. Well, he left his mother and father at age 12 as they were traveling, and they had to come back for him, right? So I'm sure he had parental issues. He had people that didn't like him that wanted to kill him. He had all of the issues that you have today. You think you have an issue at work? Line up and get behind Jesus, because he had all the issues. You think you have issues in your family and in your relationships and in your marriages and those types of things? Jesus was never married. I'm not going whatever that stupid book was a few years ago that was out. But Jesus dealt with relational issues. There's a book out. Some of you are looking at me a little strange. Written a few years ago that says Jesus actually got married to Mary Magdalene. And that was a belief. The Templar Knights believe that Jesus was married, but that's blasphemy or not true. So, but the matter of this image and this likeness is that we are created to be like him. We are created to look like him. We are created to be all of these things. All of these things in our life are called for us to understand we are supposed to be like him. How are you doing with that? Do you look like Jesus? Do the people around you on your job think you look like Jesus or act like Jesus? Do the people in your family think you look or act like Jesus? This is the problem. As soon as I say look like, Ethan, you look pretty close. You're getting here with the long hair, buddy, okay? But that's the problem that we have, right? When we think of image and likeness, the very first thing we go to is, oh, do you look Arabic with long hair? And you don't shower, and you don't take any baths, maybe you wash your feet every once in a while, right? That's the first thing that we go to, is this look and feel, because this is the tactile, if you will, of this world. It has nothing to do with looks. It has everything to do with your image. What is your image? What are you portraying? Do you portray Jesus in your life? Do you portray Jesus in your marriage? Do you portray Jesus on your job? Do the people in your community know that you follow Jesus? Do the people in your community know that if they're having problems, they can come to you for prayer and they're going to see things change? Do the people in your community know that if they're lacking food, that they can come to you and they can ask and you're going to help them out? That doesn't mean that you're going to give out all the money that you have, but you're going to find a way to help them. That's what Jesus did. That's what God. That's who God is. We're made in his image. We're made in his likeness. That is our identity. That's our true identity. This question about, there should never be a question of identity for Christians. Never. Never. No one ever who says that they are following Jesus Christ, who is a Christian, who is Christ-like, should ever question their identity. Because we have all of Scripture to see who we're supposed to look like. How we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to respond, how we're supposed to do these things. It's all right here. The problem with this is that we as Christians have gotten really lazy, and instead of trying to make decisions to follow Christ, we've decided to follow the world and follow ourselves or follow our own opinions, our own mindset, and we become who we want to be and not who Christ says we should be. Because ultimately, it's much easier for us to get mad and never talk to someone than it is to face that person, ask for forgiveness, deal with or give forgiveness, and walk through the problems of an issue with someone. All my life, I've asked one simple question, and that was, and I asked it to God. When I first came a Christian at 16 years old, I began asking this question, who am I and why am I here? Started asking that question, and one of the most impactful books for me was The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. I don't know if any of you have ever read that book. If you haven't read it, it's wonderful, and you should. But when I was in high school, I struggled. Was I a jock? Was I a nerd? I wasn't anywhere close to being a jock. I knew that. Was I a nerd? No, I wasn't really a nerd either. Was I a fine arts person, choir, singing, those types of things, or was I something else? I couldn't figure that out, and so I asked myself that question all the time. Was I going to sing, or was I going to play sports? And then as I grew older, I started asking this question, am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to be a business person? What am I going to be? sort of asking this identity and struggling with this identity of who I wanted to be. What I was really trying to figure out is who God wanted me to be. And somewhere in my mid-20s, I began to realize that if I was going to be who I needed to be or who I was created to be, that I needed to know what God says about me. And so I took this journey in my 20s of reading every scripture in the Bible that talks about what God says you are. You know, there's over 145 verses in scripture where Jesus or God himself says this is how we are to be. Amazing. Some of them are things like we are royal, we are chosen. Some of these things are we are forgiven. We are children of God. We are a friend of God. We are loved. We are his beloved. He is ours. We are powerful. We have the ability to go beyond our own needs. All of these things. I could go on and on and on and talk about all of these things. But ultimately, all of these things are who God says we are. And by understanding his identity and what he is, I can clearly see who I was created to be. Again, the simple fact is this, is that if you want to know your true identity, if you want to know exactly who you are to be or the purpose of your life, then get to know and grow closer to Jesus Christ. Because the closer you are to him, the more you're going to know who you are supposed to be. Then enters the excuse of sin. Today, too many people in my mind are under this excuse of sin. We have allowed the downfall of man to get in the way of things. I'm sorry, Pastor, I just can't forgive that person because, you know, well, it's they make me mad and they make me aggravated. It's just too much work to forgive that person. I'm sorry, I can't do this. You know, we live in a sinful world, so that means I'm just going to have to struggle with this sin. Oh, you know what? If Adam and Eve would have just ate of that fruit, if they would have just chose not to do that, then my life would have been so much easier today. As Adam and Eve are forcing you to do something today. The last time I checked, Adam and Eve was not sitting beside you, telling you to tell your husband off or tell your wife off or tell someone off at work or any of those things. Adam and Eve are not forcing you to do anything. You are choosing to do those things on your own. But we use the excuse of sin to cover up the true identity of who we're supposed to be. Instead of going before the cross, looking at the cross and saying, you know what? I'm flawed. I'm messed up. I'm screwed up. I'm bad. I'm not even close to being who Christ was. We use the excuse of, oh, we live in a sinful, fallen world. Yeah, we do. You're right. But so did Jesus, and he lived a sinless life. Are we born into a sinful world? Absolutely we are. Are we all going to sin? Yes, we're all going to sin. Does that mean that we have the free choice to not sin? Yes, you do have the free choice not to sin. You have a choice when you open up your computer not to look at that ad or not to look at that pornographic material. You have the choice when sitting down to choose what you're going to drink, not to drink an alcoholic beverage if you're an alcoholic. You have a choice to walk away from whatever addiction that you're walking or going through. You have a choice that instead of going to someone and calling them a liar or calling them to try to work out the issue you have with that person. You have the choice to choose to be the way that you want to be. But we fall under this temptation of using the excuse of sin to be who we are. We allow sin to describe us instead of God. We allow our sinful life to describe who we are. God created you to be stronger. He created you to be greater. He created you to overcome those sins that are in your life. Your identity has nothing to do with the sin of your life. Your identity was based in Jesus Christ. You're just allowing the sin in your life to boil up inside of you to become who you are today. And that's what outwardly people see. Instead of seeing Christ, they're seeing the sin inside of you. And see, the problem of it is we're all in that way, and so we're all in that shape. And so when we look at each other, what do we see? We don't see the perfect apple. We see the bruises. We see the responses. We see the aggravation. Instead of responding and saying, listen, I know you're hurt. I know you're suffering. I know you're going through these things. Let's pray and ask God that he would just reveal to you the truth of who you are. We allow ourselves to respond out of anger. Someone angers us, what do? We respond out of anger. Someone yells at us, what do? We respond out of anger by yelling back. Someone slaps us, what do? We turn around and we slap them back. Right? That's not what God says to do. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. All of these things, the reason why I'm bringing all of these things up is because this is not your identity. This is the identity of sin. What has happened since the fall of man is that we have allowed the identity of sin to take over our life instead of the identity of God and who God says we are to be. So instead of saying, I am a God, I am loved by God, I am a friend of God, I am chosen by God, I have the power to overcome these things, I can do all of those things. Instead, we go to the exact opposite and we use the excuse of sin to cover up the mistakes that we're making, and then we just say, oh, I live in a fallen world. But, here's the great part. Jesus is going to forgive me, so I'm going to tell you off, and then I'm going to go home. Dear God, please forgive me for telling that person off. Will he forgive you? Yes, he will. Does that make it right? No, it does not. We need to understand that our identity has nothing to do with the sin of this world. It has everything to do with God. God created all things, but only one bears his image, and that is you. Everything in this world was created by God. Everything good, I should say, was created by God. We already went over the list. Pick out whatever list or pick out whatever thing you want to see. God created that. But you know, only one bears his image, bears his likeness, bears his attributes. That's you. God thought so highly of each and every one of you that he gave you his likeness and his image. And so our attempt on this earth is to struggle with, how do I be like God? How do I be like Jesus? How do I respond the way that he would respond? This is an amazing statement, and one that I think, again, man, I tell you what, this has rocked my world. Be very honest with you. As I go through life now, I'm thinking to myself, every time I get mad at my wife or my daughter or my dog or my neighbors, I think to myself, wait, that's created in the image of God. Why am I responding that way? Would God have responded that way? You know, and let me say something real quickly too. God would have told someone that they're doing something wrong, by the way. But he would do it in a loving way. He wouldn't go up to them and tell them how stupid they were for doing that, and blah, 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 and all these other things, right? He would lovingly go up to that person and say, you were created to be much more than that. You can do better. Same thing I would say to all of you in this room. Guess what? I know you're sinful. I know you're flawed. I know you're making mistakes. So am I. Guess what? That's life. That's where we're at. But we're not created to walk in those sins. We're not created to walk in those mistakes. We're not created to walk in those scars. We're not created to walk in those bruises. We're created to walk and look like Jesus Christ. We're created to be in his image, in his likeness. As a Christian, we are Christ-like. That means our responses, our actions, all of those things will be Christ-like. That is our identity. That is who we are. That is the ability that we have on this earth right now, if we would only accept it and not allow sin to pull us off. Of all the amazing things God created, again, there's only one thing that bears his image, and that is you. It's a heavy statement to carry forth, but we need to carry it forward. Understanding that God did not create some aliens to look like him. If we can have a different conversation whether aliens are real or not, but that's a different story. I tell you, no, they're not, because if they were real, they'd be in the Bible, and we would know about it. God didn't create you to be an alien. He didn't create you to be an animal. He didn't create you to be a platypus, thank God. He didn't create you to be a porcupine. That's easy for me to say. He can create you to be a cow or a horse or a dog or a cat or a reptile or anything else. He created you to be exactly in his image. Now, that's hard because when you sit and you look around this room, right? We have so many different body styles and body shapes. We have so many different personalities, genders, male and female, only two, right? Not so many different genders. There's just many different males, many different females. But God created each and every one of us to carry forth his likeness and his image. And it's time we start looking like God. The world needs us to look like God. Not to look like Jason, not to look like whoever you are, but to look like him. One of my greatest prayers, and one of the prayers that I've been praying, and I hope that you would join me in this prayer, is that we become so transparent that when someone looks at me, they don't see me, they see Jesus Christ. I want the love of God, the ability, the image and the likeness of who God is and Christ in my life to be so strong that when someone sees me, they're not persuaded by my manly looks. just kidding. But they see Jesus Christ instead. That's what I want them to see. Because that's who our identity is. That's who we were created to be. And when we're assured of who we are, guess what? We can encourage others to be assured of who they are. To say they have the power also. They have the ability. They have the capability to overcome those things in their life. Will you stand with me? Will the worship team come? My hope and my prayer today is that you would truly grasp the meaning of being made in his image and his likeness. My hope and my prayer is that when you leave here today, you will begin to ask yourself this question on a daily, maybe even hourly basis. What does being made in God's image look like? How do I respond to the people around me the way that God would respond? How do I make them see God in me instead of seeing me? For some of us, that means that we have to walk away from the sin of our life. That we have to first understand that sin has so driven us away from him that we no longer look like Christ, but we look like this ugliness of the world and the sin that's in our life. We've allowed the excuse of sin and sin to fall upon us that we're not doing what God has called us to do. We don't look like the way that God wants us to look like, and we have made this ugly image or likeness or picture. Instead of looking like us, we look like Scooby-Doo or whatever. For some of us, that just means that I have to take a step back and say, okay, I do have the ability to stand up and share the gospel with my friends. I do have the ability to love people that seem to be unloving. I do have the ability to help my neighbor out when they need help. I do have the ability to be forgiven and forgiving others. I do have the ability of all those things because I have the attributes. I have the image. I have the likeness of who God is inside of me. That's who I was created to be. We have to cast aside the sin of this world and take on the birth of who he is. That's why when Jesus came to this earth, he said, be born again. Wasn't that we are climbing up into our mother's womb again, because that's impossible to do. And it's disgusting. But what it meant, I got to say what comes to my mind, sorry. But what it meant was that we are dying to ourselves here on this earth and not looking like the sin of this earth, but we're going to be reborn into the likeness and image of who God says that we are supposed to be at the very beginning. See, that's the way that the earth was created to be. We were all supposed to be walking images of God. And then sin came into the world. And we have chosen to allow that sin to continue through us. You're not forced to sin. I want you to understand that. Please get this through, I was going to say thick skulls, but that would be not very polite. So get this into your head. You are not forced to sin. Yes, we live in a sinful world. A world we were born into sin. We were born into this world, and this is a sinful world. But none of us in this room are forced to sin. It's a choice that we make. None of you in this room, no one's holding a gun to your head saying you need to sin. That's your choice. You're choosing to do that. But you aren't created to be that way. You're created to be in the image and likeness of God, who is perfect, who is sinless. And that means you are created to be in that same way. But we have chosen to allow sin to affect us here on this earth. And it needs to stop. Because the world needs to see Christians who look like God. We are in a time and a place in this world that if we don't become the image bearers of Christ, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to get to see what heaven would be like. This world needs people who bear the image and the likeness of God in everywhere they go. And it's time that we step up and do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We glorify you. We honor you and we praise you. You're the most amazing God, and you created us in the most amazing way, Father. You are the creator of all things and all of these amazing things. All of the beauties of this earth were created by you. And yet only one, you said, looks and has the likeness of you, and that is us. For some reason, you chose us to carry forth that likeness and image on this earth. And so, Lord, help us to do that today. Help us to look more like you than the sin of this world and the sin of our life. Help us to overcome the sin of our life so that we can be those image bearers, be those bearers of your likeness, that we can carry forth into the communities around us and our neighborhoods around us. Forgive us for not looking like you. Forgive us for falling to the temptation of sin. And help us, Father, to be who you have called us to be. Lord Jesus, you are the most amazing and almighty God. Come to us today. Help us today in this place to be those image bearers. There's one here or watching at home online that has never given their life to Christ, that has never said, I want to be that image bearer. I want to be like Christ. I want to be Christ-like. I want to be a Christian. It's as simple as saying and asking him, forgive me of my sins. That's the first step. To turn away, to repent, to walk away from your former life, your sinful life, saying, come into my heart, be my king, be my savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. With those words, you have accepted him into your heart. And you bear the image of Jesus. It's your job to become more like him with every second of every passing day. Lord, help us today to be those image bearers. Help us to live for you, to walk in you. We love you, we glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
Lord Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of life. Christ be magnified in me. Your creation suddenly articulates with a thousand tongues lift one cry. And from north to south and east to west, we can rise, be magnified. For the whole world echoing his eminence, his name will burst from sea and sky. The rivers to the mountain tops, we can rise, be magnified.
Magnified in us. One of my favorite Bible verses is that our tongues would be silent, the rocks would cry out. The truth of the matter is that we were created to praise God. We were created to be like Him, to show the world this is God. This is who He is. This is the love, this is the forgiveness, this is the beauty, this is the power that He has. We do all of that by allowing Him to be magnified in us. So may we go forth today into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our families, into our communities, and allowing Christ to be magnified in us, where we no longer are seen, but God, we are transparent, so Jesus shines through us. You have the ability to do those things because God created you that way. Accept that identity because that is truly who you are. Father, we thank you for this day. I ask you a blessing on every single person that's here today and that's watching online. May they magnify you in their life. May they seek to have a transparent life that allows you to shine through them in every way, shape, or form. May they be blessed by you in every way, shape, and form. May they walk in the glories that you have for us. And may we serve you, being your hands and feet in the world that you have given to us to make a difference in. Be glorified and magnified in us. Help us to spread that gospel this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Hope you have an awesome week. We'll see you again next week.